Bart, standing by. Cool. Bart Sobrell, Moon Hoax, is that the latest that you have?
I'm sorry?
Is your DVD the latest one that you have out? The one I just got, is that brand new?
Are you talking about A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon?
Exactly.
Well, it's not brand new exactly, but it's a brand new to most people. It's been suppressed, I guess. But
okay.
Most people are getting it for the first time.
Okay, well, that's
brand new for them.
I just want to make sure I was framing it right, because it was brand new to me, and I just didn't know whether it was brand new to everybody. So A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon is it makes the case as best as I've seen it made yet for why this the moon launches of Apollo 11, et cetera, were faked. I don't know that I buy it yet, but if anybody's going to convince me, it's going to be you.
Well, I appreciate that. I think you have a great show, and I appreciate you actually watching the film before you interviewed me about it. You'd be surprised how many people don't do that.
Well, they're wasting their time, because it's not fair to talk to somebody without seeing that. And I thought you did that really well. It's riveting, actually. And you get to all of the photos and all of the film that exists, and you make your case in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon that this was a hoax, that this can't possibly have been true, that the astronauts were in on it. That they knew that they were faking these images that were being beamed back to the Earth on purpose, and then the images that supposedly happen up on the moon itself come as a result of studio trickery. Am I summing it up okay?
I think you did a great job. Well, it's great being on your show. Appreciate it.
Okay, so I'm watching. Let me get one thing out of the way at the beginning, because I was sort of thinking at one point you were talking about how. Neil Armstrong had never addressed the issue of whether or not he had gone to the moon, that he's never given a proper full-length TV interview. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And that you have clip of Neil Armstrong talking about the moon launch and talking about the moon landing and speaking in what you describe as cryptic terms. Can you be a little more specific about that?
Well, on the 25th anniversary, I guess it was 1994, it was the first time he had spoken publicly since the initial press conference 25 years earlier after the alleged event. And it appeared to me that he was holding back tears. And there was one particular part of the speech that he had apparently deliberately memorized and made sure that he looked up and addressed the audience. Now, the audience was a group of high school students touring the White House. And lucky for them, at that particular hour, they were getting into this particular room where Neil Armstrong was addressing the nation on the 25th anniversary. And he said the following to the students: "Perhaps someday you'll be able to remove one of truth's protective layers." Now, you can read into that what you want, but having done 10 years of investigation into this and spending about $1 million, seems to me he was trying to say something there. And certainly when you look at the footage we uncovered, which is in the movie, of him faking being halfway to the moon, it all starts to fall into place like the pieces of a puzzle.
How old is Neil Armstrong now?
Well, I forgot what his birthday was. I used to send him birthday presents from time to time. He's in his 70s.
Okay. So let's say 70. Some of the other astronauts are in their early 80s. What would be holding them back from saying now? I mean, what else? What do they have to lose at this point to just come out and say, you know, Bart Sobrell has been right this whole time?
Well, they've got a lot to lose. Number one, if it were just one of them who had walked on the moon, then maybe it would be easier for that one person to confess. Unfortunately, he's like confessing for, you know, a dozen or so men who are part of these missions who are still alive. It'd be one thing to turn yourself into the police, say you robbed a bank, but it'd be another thing to give the name and address of all your cohorts on it. Secondly, he would be ruining the reputation of America internationally. He'd become the new Benedict Arnold of the nation. And
would he? Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, I'm saying what they would probably think of themselves doing that.
Okay. All right. And so, but there's no, I mean, at this point, he doesn't need the money. There's nothing that in there. He's probably established well enough that he doesn't need to, or any of the other astronauts. Why, if he's trying to hint at that, as you present in the DVD, Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, if he's trying to hint at that, why not hint more than once at that And why not be more explicit about these clues that he's trying to get the word out that he didn't really go to the moon?
Well, I wish you could ask him that, but he won't give an interview on the subject. In fact, oddly enough, you may remember from the movie, which they can read about at moonmovie.com, there isn't even a single still picture of the first man to walk on the moon, not a single one. It's as if the guy did not want that liability. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. The greatest accomplishment in human history, and Neil Armstrong being the first man to walk on the moon, you'd think there'd be at least one photograph of the guy as the first man to walk on the moon, and there's zero. Can you imagine that? I mean, he has never given an interview on the subject, not the Time, not the Life, not the Newsweek, since he allegedly walked on the moon, not to Barbara Walters, not to Walter Cronkite, and neither has Michael Collins. So you have two of the three guys on the first mission to the moon who refused to be interviewed on the subject. Now, in the second film called Astronauts Gone Wild, we tracked them down. Now, and that was not a pleasant sight. Our car was rammed off the road. We were harassed by the police who obstructed our civil rights as free press, and other zany things happened. You know,
Actually, I thought of you on that because while I was watching the video and you said you were going through the number of astronauts who have never given an interview, I thought, gosh, didn't one of the astronauts like punch some guy in the nose for claiming that the moon launch was a hoax? And so I went online and I looked it up, and it was you. And so it was Buzz Aldrin. Is that who it was?
Yeah, it was. And it was okay. The cheek.
It was the cheek.
Yeah,
okay.
But I turned the other one. So
okay. So you had called him. I don't know. I'm going off a FoxNews.com story, but it said that.
Oh, then it must be true.
Well, you had called him a liar and a thief, or you had called him a liar and stealing money for speaking about something he didn't really do, or something
like
that.
Well, they actually got that correct, and I wanted to admit to the listeners that I was wrong to do that. I certainly didn't wake up that morning and say I can't wait to call Buzz Aldrin a liar, a coward, and a thief, and I'm sure he didn't wake up that morning and say I can't wait to punch Bart Sobral. The heat got turned up a little bit.
And, or maybe he did.
And I realized that I was wrong to do that. Now, I was doing my best at the time with what I knew. Certainly, they have not walked on the moon, and that's a fact. And certainly, I consider it a moral issue and a spiritual issue for the truth to come out. And my zeal to do that, you know, I called him what I thought he was at the time. But to tell you the truth, there have been times in my life when I've been a liar, coward, and a thief. So therefore, it's wrong for me to do that. The Bible also said to speak respectfully to your elders, which I did not do. And I also wasn't kind of loving the guy. I was kind of being harsh with him. And so I realized that I was wrong and that I provoked him into punching me. And I apologized to him for that.
You have since apologized to him?
I have, absolutely.
Okay. Did he take your apology?
He did. In fact, the day later, he ordered a copy of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon from moonmovie.com.
Okay. But he maintains that he did this, and he's, I mean, cause that doesn't pop up in the movie, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, or in any of the material I saw anyway, where he says to you, look, I did this, I did do it. And the idea that astronauts won't say that they did it isn't true.
Well, actually, if you go to moonmovie.com and you rent the second film, I don't know if you had time to watch that, called Astronauts Gone Wild, which we got that from the Punch. He admits to me being correct on camera. Then he threatens to sue us if we show that particular footage to anybody. I'm showing him the footage which you saw at the end of the film, which is largely while people believe that we did not go to the moon. In fact, 4 out of 5 people who previously thought the moon landings were real, when they watch A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, reverse their opinion. That's one of the reasons why a film that's not exactly brand new is new to most of the world, because it has been suppressed. I mean, the BBC bought the film and then banned it 3 days before it was supposed to air. Now, in this particular footage, I've got two camera crews there, and we set up a monitor, and we show them this amazing footage which he shot, which is the only known unedited footage from the moon mission. And he says, I am going about it the wrong way, that my motives are self-centered, that I want to become famous by propelling my career like this, that I'm going to become a famous person, and I have wrong motives for wanting to expose the truth. Now, how can I become famous if I'm wrong?
Okay.
The guy is admitting on camera that I'm right. And he's,
so wait, I just want to make sure. So that you're saying you're taking that as an admission that you are right.
Admission. If you watch Astronauts Gone Wild, he says, what an ego I must have to want to propel myself like this. that I want to become famous by being the one who was known for having exposed this. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm not going to be famous about anything except for being crazy.
Okay. I follow your rhetorical logic on that, but I'm not sure if I understand exactly what he meant when he said this. But, okay,
well,
let's just assume.
Well, you would get Astronauts Gone Wild from MooMovie.com, and you'll see his own admission. You'll see Alan Bean say that he did not go through the Van Allen radiation belt. Now,
well, that's a key part to this. That's a key part to this. The Van Allen radiation belt, as you say, you make the point that we couldn't survive that, that no human being could survive going through that.
That is correct.
Okay. And that the astronauts admitted to you that they didn't go through it then?
Well, Alan Bean admitted that. For your listeners, and a lot of people amazingly don't know about this, but about 1,000 miles above the Earth and extending an additional 25,000 miles lays a lethal band of radiation called the Van Allen radiation belt, humbly named after the gentleman who discovered it. Well, this field of radiation is 25,000 miles thick. The only time in human history any nation has claimed to have gone through it would be to the moon. They'd have to go through it to the moon and back, six times going and six times coming back for a total of 12 times, approximately 12 hours in this field of radiation. Now, the space shuttle, Gemini, Mercury, Skylab, and all that stuff orbits well below the radiation belt. Now, when the space shuttle in 1994 went up to 365 miles, right, which is about 635 miles below the beginning of the field of radiation, they were afraid and descended to a lower altitude. In fact, with the shielding of their spacecraft and the shielding of their spacesuits and with their eyes closed, they could see fireworks going off of the radiation hitting the retinas of their closed eyes, and they descended to a lower altitude. And here's the thing. CNN issued the following report, which I'm going to quote word for word. The radiation belt surrounding the Earth is more dangerous than previously believed. Now, if the astronauts from Apollo missions were in it 12 times, six times going to the moon and six times going back from the moon, why is it that the space shuttle astronauts who are 635 miles away from it know more about it than the astronauts who are in it 12 times? See, that doesn't make any sense. How can it be more dangerous than previously believed, which was the moon missions? How come the guys who are 600 miles away from it know more about it than the guys who are in it 12 times? Unless, of course, the guys who claimed they were in it for 12 times were, in fact, not. And that's what the report means. It's more dangerous than previously believed, and no one connected the dots to that.
How many people are we talking about who would have to be in on this conspiracy to have faked the moon launch? Obviously, you know, what, four crews of three or four crews of four, or, and then plus all of the launch controls?
Well, that's the number one question I had, certainly, Ian, was how could they, you know, keep it a secret from that many people? That seems preposterous. You know, I started off as the biggest gaga moon landing fan probably on the planet. How ironic that now I'm the biggest critic of it. You know, it's like Paul in the Bible going from killing the Christians to becoming their leader, you know. The fact is that there are only three eyewitnesses to every moon mission. Now, there was a guy who made the glove and the door and the boot. But you know how the government is. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And certainly once they go up into Earth orbit, there's only three eyewitnesses. And get this, no independent press coverage on the greatest event in human history. There's only a TV picture controlled by the federal government. Now, when a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, you'll probably remember that dolly shot going past all the computer consoles. That's seconds before they put a man on the moon for the very first time. And look at that again, Ian. You know what they're doing? They got their feet kicked up and they're kicked back and they're watching television like the rest of it. People don't realize that they launched a satellite shortly before that called the Chester satellite. That was to simulate transmissions coming from the moon so that the ground crews could rehearse. Well, what the government told us, which was a lie, was that the Chester satellite crashed into the ocean. That's so they wouldn't know that it was still up there simulating transmissions coming from the moon during the alleged moon landings.
Okay, let's get back to this coming up in just a minute. In fact, let's go ahead and give the phone numbers out now. We will get to open lines coming up later on. But Bart Sobrel is the documentarian behind A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. And he is the kind of the number one proponent of the moon hoax theory. If you haven't gotten a copy of it, you can link up to it easily through coasttocoastam.com. And we'll get to your questions and comments. I'm not an expert on space or the Van Allen radiation belt or anything that's pro or con Bart's argument, so I'll turn to you and see what you would say to Bart. Would you take the "it happened, get over it" position and try to disprove it, or do you accept this theory? We'll find out coming up next before we get to open lines next hour on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Hey, Bart, something tells me this next half hour is going to be so lively. Let me book another half hour with you next hour. Is that all right?
Sure.
That way we don't have to race to get everybody in before the top of the hour, and we'll just delay open lines a little bit. So we'll hold Bart over until about 50 minutes from now, so more chances for you to get in on this conversation. All right, so before we get to the phones, there was one other piece I had left on this, watching A Funny Thing Happen on the Way to the Moon, the latest DVD from Bart Sobrel chronicling his attempts to explain how we didn't really actually make it to the moon, that this was all faked. I was looking up the Van Allen radiation belt because I'm the dumbest guy I know. So I thought, well, gosh, if that's unsurvivable, if you can't survive it, well, no wonder. I mean, he's got to be right. But every other science site I went to said, of course you can survive the Van Allen radiation belt, including a quote I saw from the guy after whom the Van Allen radiation belt is named, Dr. James Van Allen, right? And he said that he called that theory of yours, he called it total nonsense. Have you been in contact with him?
I believe he's deceased. His protege, who is still alive, this is his logic. You ready for this? You might want to sit down if you're not.
Okay.
The latest expert on the Van Allen radiation belt says the following. He knows for a fact that it is not lethal because the astronauts went through it 6 times to the moon and back. Okay.
Okay.
So that's the problem. Every other scientific institution claims that the moon landings are real when they're not. So he believes that the Van Allen radiation belt is not lethal because the astronauts went through it to the moon. Because he's assuming that the moon landings are real. Do you follow this kind of circular logic here that's collapsing in on itself?
I don't know that I would call it that, but, I mean, okay. Well, here's what I'm referring to. A quote from Dr. James Van Allen about the Fox TV show about the fake moon launch. And you did that one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Was yours?
I was on it and was associate producer on it.
Right. He said, it's an ingenious and entertaining assemblage of nonsense. This is Dr. James Van Allen. They claim that radiation exposure during the Apollo missions would have been fatal to the astronauts is only one example of such nonsense. And I don't know, I thought that the idea was that if they go through it fast enough, if you rocket through it, you'll be okay. Or it's a low to moderate amount of radiation. You say no.
Well, what is approximately 600 miles away? I mean, you're in Los Angeles, right?
No, I'm not, but I'm in the upper Midwest, but go ahead.
Well, what major city are you near?
I'm in the Twin Cities.
So. Okay, and what major city is about 600 miles away from you?
Okay, let's say Chicago.
Okay. You've got to imagine something that is so radioactive that if you went outside and closed your eyes, you could see the radiation with your eyes closed. That's how dangerous the Van Allen radiation belt. So if he's calling it nonsense, just like everyone who walked on the moon says thinking otherwise it's nonsense, then he's in on it.
Okay.
And the fact is that if you can see the radiation from 600 miles away, like the astronauts in the space shuttle could in 1994, then I would say it's very dangerous. And there's got to be a reason why CNN reported the following. The radiation belt surrounding the Earth is more dangerous than previously believed. Now, previously believed is when the astronauts allegedly went through it to the moon. How can the space shuttle astronauts who never got closer than 600 miles to it, how can they know more about it than the Apollo astronauts who went through it 12 times?
Well, let's put that aside for the moment and just say, if the previous thought was that it had a low amount of radiation and it turns out to have a moderate amount of radiation, then it would follow logically that it is more than they had previously thought.
Yeah, but the point is, how can detectors 600 miles away be more accurate than detectors in the middle of it?
Okay, I'm not sure I understand that, but let's get to John.
Well, the Apollo crew allegedly had detectors, I'm sure, with them inside the spacecraft. So how can their detectors inside the middle of the Van Allen radiation belt be less effective than the ones 600 miles away?
Like I said, I'm not sure I understand that, only because I don't know enough about how the moon launch rockets were insulated against the Van Allen radiation belt, and maybe they were better insulated so they didn't have to worry about that. But let's get to John in Lima, Ohio, because a lot of people agree with Bart Sabrell. East of the Rockies, John, which side are you on this, John?
Hi.
Hi.
Actually, I had a comment and a question. My grandfather worked with Steve Armstrong's, or I should say Neil Armstrong's father. His name was Steve. And according to what my grandfather said, Neil Armstrong and the other astronauts saw things on the moon that they could not talk about. So when I weigh the two scenarios side by side, you know, the scenario of actually sending people to the moon and not letting them talk about what they saw, versus the hoax, I'd rather have the hoax.
Because you don't want to consider that they were able to see something on the moon that was really scary.
Yeah, they were going to risk the lives. And, of course, the tax dollars that were spent is kind of on both sides of the aisle, because if it was a hoax, I imagine there was money that disappeared there as well.
Right.
But,
yeah,
you know, the two, we're all net zero no matter what.
Well, the money piece is definitely part of the argument for Bart Sabrell. Talk about that, about in terms of how you feel like this may have been a big financial scam, Bart.
Well, the people who knew that the moon landing was fake before me said pretty much most of what your caller is saying, that it's all about the money. I mean, that's what Woodward and Bernstein said, follow the money. You know, it was reported on the news that plastic ice cube trays in Iraq cost $20 each when they're 50 cents at Walmart. Now, where's the money going? Apparently, no one cares, apparently, or reporters aren't doing their job or something's wrong with this picture. The fact is there are many spurious reasons why people say that the moon landing pictures are fake, because there's aliens on the moon or whatever, whatever, whatever. They don't care what you believe, as long as you believe that the moon landings are real. And so what he has heard directly or indirectly is that, well, the moon landings were real, but we're really hiding gold, diamonds, aliens, or whatever on the moon. The simplest explanation is true, which is they did not have the technology to go to the moon. Here's logical proof why. The space shuttle goes just about 200 miles above the Earth. So if you had a one-foot globe, that's only about 1 inch or less above the Earth. Now, the moon is 30 globes away. So you have to compare 1 inch of space travel in this visual exercise to 30 feet away. Now, they're claiming that with four decades older technology than that we have today, they went 100,000% farther and never killed anybody, when the space shuttle has killed 14 people only going 200 miles above the Earth. Technology does not go backwards unless the moon landings are real. And for the first time in history, technology has gone backwards. And I guess there must be time travel out there, too.
First time caller line, Anthony is in Florence, Alabama on Coast to Coast. Anthony?
Yes.
You're talking with Bart Sabrell.
Yes, very good job with all the evidence, Bart. And it's good to talk to you, Ian.
And you. Go ahead. You had a specific question or a comment?
Yeah, my comment was just to reinforce the evidence, or at least prove that the pictures and the lunar landings had to be faked. If you look at the footage, the actual film footage of them landing, you'll see tons of dust kicked up, and it's going, you know, around the edge of the ship itself. It shows pictures later on of them landing, or having already landed. If you look those pictures up, they have very high-resolution pictures online. All you have to do is just put in a search, lunar lander footpad on moon or something like that, and it'll pull it up for you. You can zoom into these pictures as close as you want. They're high-resolution, and there's absolutely no dust on any of the footpads, and it looks like they've just been set on top of the dust there. But if you look around the footpads, there's footprints everywhere where they've been stomping around, and I'm sure the lunar lander must have landed at least harder than they're putting their feet down.
Well, fair enough. But here's a question then, because I think that kind of – I found that to be kind of a contradictory piece of your DVD, Bart, is that you make – at one point you make the argument that the that NASA went for intentionally low resolution pictures and that they actually undershot from the technology that existed at the time what they were doing on the moon so as to obscure what was happening.
Well, that was for the TV pictures. What they did, most of the world saw the TV pictures. The still pictures didn't come out until actually weeks later. So the initial comprehension in people's mind was the TV images, which were only black and white, even though Gilligan's Island found it worthy to go into color back in 1963. Now, they projected the images of the TV on a projection TV of, you can imagine the quality of a projection TV 40 years ago. Then they had TV cameras of 40 years of age shoot that off a projection TV. Then they had another camera again shoot that off of a TV monitor. Then they had those people bounce it off a satellite or two or send it through a phone line to the network. The networks were complaining, why can we not take a direct feed from the moon? It's because the TV sets and the still picture sets were two different sets. They had to be able to do a 360 panoramic view for the television viewers to look convincing. And they were just shooting that and maybe a fuel drum, like at the airport size moon landing set. So there wasn't a whole lot of detail to it. Now, the gentleman who built the cameras, which I believe were equivalent to 70-millimeter cameras for the pictures, who himself says this, I do not understand why the pictures turned out that way. It's illogical. And that's the guy who built the camera, by the way. Those sets were much higher quality. And that's the one where you can see these details that your caller is talking about. I mean, there are very odd anomalies in this. I mean, they claim that there's sunlight on the moon that is 20 times brighter than that on Earth. And if you go to moonmovie.com, you can see samples of shadows, which should be parallel if it's sunlight, the sun being 92 million miles away and 1 million times bigger than the Earth. Those shadows go out on a sunny day and stand 3 feet from your friend. Your shadows will never, ever intersect. But in some of these pictures, they intersect by 90 degrees. That's because they're using an electrical light. And the proximity of one person to a light that's a few feet behind you and another person are going to shoot those angles off at 90 degrees. I'm a filmmaker. My job is to make fake scenes look real. I've been asked to testify in court at the authenticity of the moon landings. I can look at the pictures and tell you that that is shot with electrical light. That's my specialty. That there's so much proof that we didn't go to the moon, not just the footage I uncover, not just the shadows, not just the dust. It just keeps going on and on and on. And because people are so predisposed in their emotions, they will not see the truth, Ian. I mean, it's like me trying to tell you that your mom killed three people before you were born. I mean, you just won't believe that, no matter how true it is.
You don't know my mother. Let's go to Daryl in California on Coast to Coast AM for Bart Sabrell. Daryl?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Bart.
Hi.
I read your arguments, and they're very compelling. I did have a couple questions and a comment. Do you believe we ever made it to the moon? Or of all the moon missions, do you ever believe we made it or even orbited the moon? I guess that's question number one. Question number two is, what was Apollo 13 all about? Was that just a made-up story?
Well, in answer to your first question, the footage that we uncovered was of them faking a shot of being halfway to the moon that was shot about 12 hours before they allegedly landed on the moon. Now, the shot of allegedly being halfway to the moon is absolutely false. Now, deductive reasoning says that that means they couldn't go halfway because we'd be seeing a real shot. And if I were them, I would shoot the real pictures as long as possible and at the point where you can't do it anymore, fake that point forward in the mission. So they're faking being halfway to the moon, which simply means they couldn't go halfway. They can orbit the Earth, but they cannot leave Earth orbit. Now, if your Volkswagen Bug cannot go 500 miles an hour, my Volkswagen Bug cannot go 500 miles an hour because they're clones of each other. So all the Apollo rockets were clones, too. So we know that Apollo 11's equipment could not leave Earth orbit, and that means none of it did. In regard to Apollo 13, the fact is when they went to the moon the second time, the American public was so jaded, they said we'd already seen it before. We don't need to be tuning in, and they complained that reruns of I Love Lucy were being interrupted. So what a coincidence. The very next mission involved life and death jeopardy, and get how audacious they were. Now, 13's an unlucky number, right? It's Apollo 13, and on April 13th, at 13:13 military time, they had this alleged accident. See, that was the most despicable of all the moon missions, because that alleged, problem was completely contrived. to get people to start watching the moon missions with more interest so they could keep milking the taxpayers for billions of dollars.
Scott is in Hermosa Beach, California, for Bart Sobrell. So far, all the callers agreeing with Bart. Scott, where are you with this?
Well, thanks, Ian, and have a good evening. It's great to talk to you because I've become a big fan of yours. Bart, I thought I heard you say earlier that there were no pictures of Neil Armstrong and no interviews of Neil Armstrong.
There were no still pictures of Neil Armstrong as the first man to walk on the moon. The very high-resolution pictures that the other caller was talking about, now there are TV images, but technically they're not him. That was done by someone else because his face was covered. And there's no one-on-one interview that I have a record of other than the initial press conference.
Okay, well, I did a, you know, when I heard you say that, because I remember a 60-minute piece, and I did a quick Google search, and in like 20 seconds I found an interview of Neil Armstrong done by Ed Bradley on 60 Minutes.
Now, how long ago was that?
It was in 2005.
Is that the one where he's doing book promotion?
I don't know
yeah,
why
I had,
he was
I
doing
it,
but an interview means that you're wrong when you say that there's no interview.
Well, I had heard about that, but I don't have a record of it. Apparently, I don't know if he's hard up for money or because the moon film that I made, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, had come back. Or come out right before that, and I had heard, but I hadn't seen it, so I can't say that it exists, but I had heard that he had done some sort of book promotion interview. So here's what we've got. We've got him talking for 10 seconds on the 25th anniversary, and we've got him out hawking a book off on the 35th anniversary, and that's all he's done. Hadn't talked to school children.
Well,
wait.
I want to side with Scott here, because you said that it's proof that he is part of the
proof.
Fake.
I said that it's suspicious.
Well, but you said it. Call him up.
Why don't you call him up? You've got the best, or at least well-known, or both, talk show in America. Why don't you call up the guy and see if you can get an interview with him? Show me a Walter Cronkite interview. Show me a Barbara Walters interview. Show me a Time magazine, Life magazine, any prestigious magazine that has an interview with him after he allegedly walked on the moon. They do not exist. Show me one still picture. Come on. He's the first man to allegedly walk on the moon, and there's not one single still picture of him allegedly doing that. Don't you find that weird?
Scott?
I mean,
Scott?
The Ed Bradley piece has Walter Cronkite talking to him as well.
Well, I guess I need to watch
and
it anymore and not throw it away
couldn't find it on Google. So, I think you have some interesting points, but you take them and make these conclusions from them as if you're the one who has the religious belief that it could never have happened without taking an objective view of the evidence.
Well, it's not a religious belief that they couldn't have happened. I mean, come on, give me a break. It's just based on the facts. I have footage that is in the movie of them faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. I mean, have you seen A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon?
He's gone.
That's your caller.
I don't know. So he's gone. Let me get to Nicholas.
Well, it sounded like he hasn't, because when I saw this footage that we uncovered of Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, and Buzz Aldrin faking a shot of being halfway to the moon, beyond theory. It's a fact.
I understand that's how you interpret that shot as faking it, but I don't know that that's how they would describe what happened in that image. But fair enough. Let's go to let's get Nicholas to hang on. Hang on, Nicholas. I pulled you up, and I'm going to put you back down again, and we'll make you first out of the box coming up after the top of the hour. Another half hour. And thank you so much, Bart Sobrell, for giving us more time. People who are NASA fans, people who are astronomy buffs, people who say that Bart's arguments don't hold scientific water, and those who say that they do, coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. And then we'll do open lines. This is Ian Punnett. So let's start back again with Nicholas in Cleveland, Ohio, on Coast to Coast AM, right where we left off, for Bart Sobrell, the documentarian behind A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. Nicholas?
Hi, Ian and Bart.
Hi.
Great to talk with you guys. I initially did some research on this topic a few years back because I thought the idea that that NASA faked the landing was a compelling idea because of the supremacy over Russia during the Cold War. But in my research, all the reasons that the hoaxers thought that was a hoax, I found that was pretty good evidence or reasons why that would not be a hoax. So I concluded back then that we had gone to the moon. And basically what my comment is that I have a different take on Armstrong's comment on the 25th anniversary about something you said. Was it protective layer of truth?
That's correct. Perhaps someday we'll be able to remove one of truth's protective layers.
Okay. And really, my take on that is that we're not alone, and that we're not alone by a long shot. And I think that's really the kernel of the issue here, that NASA's covering up what they can't tell us, and that's that pretty much our immediate space around our planet is inhibited by various races throughout the galaxy and the universe and possibly other dimensions and think that.
Well, they would love the intellectual community to believe that, because that still means they went to the moon when they did not. So they don't care why you believe they went to the moon, whether it's aliens from outer space or this or that, as long as you believe it. The fact is they don't want to know that they pulled the wool over our eyes, simply because we'll start asking, well, what else have you lied about? You know, they just lied about going to the moon because they couldn't do it. I mean, you have to realize the space shuttle has killed 14 people just going slightly above the Earth, and that's with our great brand-new technology, and the older technology is somehow less advanced than the newer technology. It went 100,000% farther and never killed anybody. I don't think they're deliberately killing people on the space shuttle. They're doing that because that's the level of technology we've achieved so far. They'd like to believe that there's aliens there and more advanced aircraft and all this stuff, but the fact is they just lied about it. Nixon was a liar, and the astronauts have lied about it. And NASA itself really didn't fake the moon landing. They have a lot of sincere people there who think they're doing the right thing. But when you go up and there's only three eyewitnesses and a TV picture controlled by the government, they can do whatever they want to do with a handful of people, and I think that's what went down.
Mike is in Tempe, Arizona, for Bart Sabrell on Coast to Coast AM. Mike?
Hi there, Bart. I'd like to ask your relationship with Howard Zimmerman, and also now with the three astronauts that were killed in 1967, what was the motivation of putting 100% oxygen in their capsule when it was known in chemistry that that would create fire? And also, when you look at these photographs of the Apollo withdrawing and also landing on the moon, now how are those taken? Like, what's the anatomy of the rocket once it blasts off?
All right. Okay, those are three good questions. Go ahead.
Well, I'm afraid I don't get out much. I'm not sure who Howard Zimmerman is. I'll have to look that up. In regard to the Apollo 1 fire, this is one of the reasons why they don't want the truth about the moon landing coming out. I have spoken with Gus Grissom's son for about 2 hours. He is a 747 pilot. I've spoken with Gus Grissom's widow for about 4 hours. Now, they have done more research on the Apollo 1 fire than anybody alive, and they know for 100% certain that that fire was set deliberately. Now, I know that Gus Grissom was a big critic of the space program. In his opinion, they were 10 years, not two, away from going to the moon. It's my opinion, based on my research, that they, at that time of the fire, had not yet informed the astronauts of their desire to fake the moon landings. When he, days before he was burned alive, had an impromptu press conference in which he hung a lemon on the top of the spacecraft and invited the media in to take a picture of it, calling the rocket a lemon, they knew that he was a boat rocker and would not play ball. Now, they suckered him into the space capsule. They filled it up with 100% oxygen, under which circumstances asbestos becomes flammable. And they smelled smoke. They wouldn't let him out. They smelled smoke again. They wouldn't let him out. And it caught on fire as a warning to the other astronauts who wouldn't play ball so that they would play ball. See, Neil Armstrong, from what I understand about his character, at least prior to the moon landings being faked, was a very honorable and sincere person. And the only way I could think you could pressure a test pilot into faking the moon landings would be if you threatened his wife or children. Because I don't think threatening to test pilot's wife is going to mean that much to him. And that's the type of people that they had to deal with, that they may still be dealing with, and that we're dealing with in the government, you see.
You're calling, just so I make sure, you're calling NASA, you're saying they murdered Gus Grissom.
Not NASA. Ask Betty Grissom and Scott Grissom. They believe that the CIA was involved in it. Now, that's their qualified opinion for having looked into this for more than 40 years. And the guy, like I said, pilot 747, he knows about the forensics of an aircraft and a spacecraft. He knows for certain that that fire was set deliberately. I read just, 100 or so pages of the Apollo 1 fire report, and I've concluded that they died before the fire was set. I mean, they were strapped in to their safety belts. Now, the first thing you're going to do when a fire starts is unbuckle your belt to try to get out of there. So they couldn't even unbuckle their belt. Then there were traces of cyanide gas found in there. Then there was a dip in power prior to the fire. What that was some sort of electrical device, probably alligator clamp somewhere hidden in there, that was triggering a cyanide capsule to go into there so that they would be dead before the fire began, so that they wouldn't have a chance of getting out, and then the fire would then destroy all the evidence of the homicide. I mean, that's what they think. That's what I think.
All right.
That's why, if I may add, why they do not want the truth about the moon landing coming out, because you better believe it when that truth comes out, and that is a win, in my opinion, not an if, and I can tell you why if you want to know, they're going to have to overturn that rock. And our country claims that we have the right to what? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. That's our first document. And they are now taking life away from their own citizens for their own greedy, evil reasons, and that needs to come to an end.
Luis is in Toronto, Canada, on Coast to Coast AM. Luis, you're talking with Bart Sobrel, who believes, among other things, that Gus Grissom was murdered, the moon landing was a hoax, and that all of the evidence you need is on the DVD, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. Luis?
Yeah, good morning, Ian. I'm glad I'm talking with you people. I'm a first-time caller and a long-time listener, and I drive limousine for a living. And I'm listening to you now, and I'm amazed and shocked at the same time that everything that I see in 1969 in South America, when I used to live in Uruguay, you telling me that everything was a lie? You know, I still no believe that they can lie to 5.5 billion people at that time. And I want to hang up and wait for your comment. And
okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Luis. All right, thank you. So let me just say, I'll handle this question. You don't think, Mark, that's not a stretch to think that they lied to 5 billion people, you're saying?
Well, I mean, when someone kills somebody, they will do anything to cover it up. I mean, number one, it's kind of irrelevant, but the guy's accent doesn't quite sound right to me. You can think that what you want. He's probably the only foreigner who thinks the moon landings are real. From what I understand...
Why would you say his accent doesn't sound right? What does that mean?
That's just my specialty. You know, I'm totally...
No, I don't know what you mean by that. I have many relatives who are Hispanic, and he sounds exactly like my...
Really? Okay,
yeah.
Then I must be wrong
really?
On that one.
Honestly, I mean, it's like a... Okay.
In any case...
I just don't want you to sound nutty. That's
well,
all I'm trying to draw a line here.
Well, maybe you're right. I appreciate the help.
Okay.
You know, I need to sound as credible as possible.
Okay.
The fact is, when Gilligan's Island was on the air, there were people writing the network saying, you better save these people, you know, from this island. Why isn't the Coast Guard going out there? Okay, that's from Gilligan's Island with the laugh track. You can absolutely fool people with television. You got to remember that Time magazine came out with an article, a cover story that said the smartest man in America from the $64 Quest and Chris show. Time magazine was wrong. How can Time magazine be wrong? Because the best way to fool people is to fool the media. Once you got the media suckered in, then you can fool the rest of the public, and that's exactly what they did.
All right. Dennis is in Atlanta on Coast to Coast AM for Bart Sobrel. Dennis?
Good evening. Somebody kind of stole my thunder about the footprints and the dust and everything, but I do have a couple questions or a couple statements. One, the technology issue. I will call to the attention of Bart the SR-71. That was 1962-63 technology that still hasn't been matched today as far as Earth flight that I know of.
Well, if you I'm sorry, go ahead.
But that's just, and I've seen the SR-71 in action personally. But the other thing is, probably one of the most famous photographs that came out of the moon landings, where it showed the reflection of, I forgot what it was, in his face mask. But you, in order to have the reflection in his face mask, the sun would have had to have been behind the photographer, and the sun was in the picture. Are you familiar with that photograph that I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, it's the most famous one, HC69684, I think is the number of it. It's of Buzz Aldrin, allegedly, with his arm bent, with the wrinkles in his spacesuit, even though it's supposed to be inflated with air. And if you look closely in the face mask, you can see the shadow of the wall behind him casting a secondary lighter shadow actually in front of him. It's amazing how the most famous picture of someone on the moon is potentially the most incriminating one. I mean, the guy who made the camera that took that picture says the front of his suit should be pitch black if the sun is behind him, like they claimed. The picture, I mean, there are people who can smell a glass of wine and tell you, you know, what age it is and from where it is. I'm a filmmaker. I can tell you what kind of electrical light is on the guy. It's an umbrella light. They're bouncing a light on a silver umbrella, and they're bouncing it into him, and that's why the front of him is lit up when it should be pitch black. I mean, that's what they're doing. That's my specialty. That is a fake picture. And as far as the SR-71, that is an amazing aircraft, which I have seen personally also. Now, if you look at the space shuttle's engine, which you're, of course, misdirected not to look at because they got that kerosene burning, which takes your eye away, next time you look at the space shuttle launch or playback one, look at the engine's exhaust coming out of the space shuttle itself. That looks extremely unusual to me. It doesn't even look like exhaust. It looks like some sort of sonic wave or something. It's extremely consistent. See, the SR-71 aircraft has the most consistent burning engine I've ever seen. It's amazing. But now look at the space shuttle. Now, why does the space shuttle have to take 3 days to lock up with the space station? That doesn't make any sense. It took 3 days to go to the moon, and they're telling us it takes 3 days to go from the ground up 200 miles. They are doing something else while they're up there. They must have two or three other space stations or something, because it does not take 3 days from the space shuttle, you know, to go to the space station. That's ridiculous. They are doing something else.
Let's get Robert in Harrisburg, Virginia on Coast to Coast AM for Bart Sabrell. Robert?
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
Great. Where are you on this?
It's a pleasure to talk to you, and it's a pleasure to talk to Bart. The thing is, I really do admire some of the things that Bart has said throughout his career, and a lot of things he's really interesting. I do think that there's some things that is really funny about the moon landing. My question for Bart is, there is a scene from Apollo 16, and there's a scene from The Rock's Cry Out where you see the astronauts running down the hill, and there is a video on YouTube that's called Bart Sabrell Exposed, where it actually shows where Bart is actually overlapping old footage to something else to make it look like it's in one place. And I would like to ask Bart about that and ask if he's manipulating footage to make it look like they are faking the moon landing.
Well, to tell you the truth, I've really only looked intently at Apollo 11 footage, because I figured if they didn't go to the moon, they're more likely to have made a mistake the first time they faked it. I couldn't tell you what Apollo 16 footage looks like. I've never seen it. One thing to consider is, if they really went to the moon, then anyone who says otherwise is a nut. So why are there so many websites that cost thousands of hours of construction to prove crazy people crazy? That just doesn't make any sense. You know, Shakespeare said, thou shalt protest too much.
I don't know. That's not a logical argument, team. There's thousands of websites.
You can put up to the voice modulation lie detector and tell that I'm telling you the truth.
Well, I understand what your opinion is.
I've never edited. You asked me if I've edited Apollo 16 footage before. I'm telling you, no, I haven't.
No, I didn't ask you that. But I'm just saying, that was the caller. I'm just saying, there's lots of things that people put man hours into on the internet that don't, just because they put man hours into it, it doesn't prove they're not crazy. I mean, there's lots of things that people do with their time for one reason or another. But Kevin is in British Columbia. He'll probably be our last caller for Bart Sabrell, so it all rests on your hands. Kevin?
Hi, thank you very much. I'm a first-time caller. I love Coast to Coast. I'm sorry that I'm having a call to try to help set the record straight. As a matter of background, I'm professionally trained as a photographer from one of the better or best schools in the country in it. I processed the first lunar orbiter photos at Boeing years and years ago. I'm an author of a best-selling book on photographs of the Earth from space. I've looked at every handheld image taken from the first Mercury flight through 1999, including the photos taken on the moon.
Okay, I tell you what, Kevin, do you want to hang on? Well, hang on. Kevin, you hang on. Bart, you want to talk to him here, because the music's rolling? And
sure, what a coincidence such an amazing guy got through with all your callers.
Okay, well, I don't know that that's a coincidence. We have amazing callers every day on Coast to Coast AM. So, Kevin, if you want to hang on, just like we have amazing guests, Bart, we have amazingly talented people that listen to this show. So let's link you all up together and see where this goes then. We'll give a little extra time to this coming up after the bottom of the hour. So I'll just say thank you to everybody else who are holding on. We won't be able to get to you. Kevin, if you can hang on from British Columbia, if you did indeed process those photos, this will be a very interesting conversation. Next with Bart Sobrell, who says that the moon launch was faked and he can prove it, and we'll take this to its logical conclusion next. Also, go online and take a look at the new beta version of the coasttocoastam.com website, and I'll be on tomorrow night, too, with Gordon Thomas, 100 Years of Espionage in England and Israel. You'll hear all of the secrets tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Jeremy is in Bend, Oregon, open lines on Coast to Coast. Jeremy?
Oh, hi, Ian.
Hi, where are you going to take us?
Well, I was actually, I'm still on the line. I was going to say a couple things about the moon. Is that okay?
I'm not the guy to talk. See, I can't really give you a decent answer, I'm sure.
Well, I just wanted to, make a couple comments, basically.
Okay.
Basically, one of the myths is that the photos are fake because the shadows of the rocks and the lander are not parallel.
Right.
But I've been doing some research on the computer, and it explained it that the shadows are not parallel because of the way the light falls on the moon's natural topography.
That it's two different light sources.
Yeah.
One's a primary and one's a reflection, somebody said?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And they're getting the bounce of one light and then the primary light from something else.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I think you're going to want to stick around for the guy who says that he edited the photos coming up then just after the top of the hour, so just a few minutes away from now. And thanks for that thought. Let me get to, I guess next is Joe in Boston. Open
hey,
lines
Ian.
On Coast to Coast. Joe?
Hey, Ian. How are you doing today?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
I want to mention something, and I wish that the Bart was on. I wish you'd get him back like Art Bell, whether you wait till the top of the hour. I wish you could get him and Richard C. Hoagland, because I was talking to Gina with that. I love that woman. She's so nice. It will be interesting to have Richard C. Hoagland and him go at it. I don't know whether this is real or not. I can't say. I hope that we went to the moon. I don't like the fact that his son, Grissom's son, was murdered. I wondered if Bart has tapes and if there's a contact in the telephone number where people like myself who are visually impaired, because his sight is very hard to, as you know, use with a screen reader. Some sites are. That he would call us and we could have a contact information. But if you can write those questions down, I would really appreciate it.
Well, I'll see what I can do for you on that. We had kind of a different direction going for the top of the hour, but I'll ask him especially about whether or not there's another way to contact him. Seemed, Joe, like he was willing to take any kind of email and that he would respond to it. So put in the subject box, this is not a death threat. And see whether that gets you in contact with them. David is in Sterling, Virginia, on Coast to Coast AM. David,
hey, how you doing, Ian?
Doing all right. Cup top of the hour. We'll have the we'll have him back with the photographer guy on. But you had somewhere else you want to take us?
Oh yeah, no. Well, I wanted to talk about the moon thing here.
Go ahead.
Did I call in too late?
No, I'm not sure I have anything for you. But go ahead.
Well, I got something for you.
Okay.
I used to be a ham radio operator when I was 14. I became a ham radio operator, and I lived in Huntsville, Alabama. And at 15, the Apollo 11 lunar module landed on the moon. And I used to sit on top of my roof and watch them test fire the Saturn V booster stage, which was about 3.5 to 4 miles from my house. And it was incredible. They would fire it on its side against a concrete bunker, and flames would shoot into the sky. And they would do this three times a week. This happened for two or three years straight. And the day that the or it was that evening, or let's say the evening that the Apollo 11 moon, lunar module landed on the moon, earlier that day, myself and 9 other people went over to a fellow ham's house. Now, I was a young man at that time. I was only 15 at the time. But the ham radio club that I belonged to was made up of a lot of NASA engineers and scientists. and one of them was an avid listener to OSCAR. OSCAR is an acronym that stands for Orbiting Satellite Carrying Amateur Radio.
Mm-hmm.
He built his own antenna system on he used to listen to them. They would go over about every 90 minutes, like Sputnik.
Okay,
repeaters.
So let's get to the part of
that day. Nine of us went over to his house and listened to the command module of the lunar as it orbited the moon, and listened to Michael Collins communicate back to Earth. We couldn't hear the other end of the conversation because we were not in the line of sight for that signal.
Right.
Now, every now and then, maybe about 10 or 15 years ago, I first heard that, that was a signal that was faked. And this guy you had on earlier said basically the same thing, that they faked a signal.
Right.
From the moon. But get this, there were only one or two geosynchronous satellites at that time. All other satellites orbited the Earth, so you would have to track along with them.
Okay.
David,
for time, I need you to kind of give me the bottom line on this. So what you're saying is...
The bottom line is I sat there and listened for 4 hours to Michael Collins as he talked to... To Houston.
And you're convinced that it's real?
And I'm convinced that it's real because not only that, we had a itinerary of the Apollo 11 moon rocket and exactly what he would say and when he would say it. And he pretty much followed the script, not necessarily a script per se.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
the protocol.
Followed the steps that he had to switch from one fuel cell to the other and so forth.
All right. Very good. I appreciate that. Very interesting. That listened to it on his own, independent confirmation. Well, we'll see what the two photographers have to say about this. One's a documentarian, and the other is one that says he worked at Boeing exposing the film. So we'll both see where those exposures go coming up after the top of the hour. I got a piece I want to play for you first. And then just so I can establish this here, we can come back to it later. With my trip last week to the talk radio seminar in L.A. and all that catching up that I had to do this week, I might have missed that this story got a lot of attention. So pardon me if you already heard about this headline, but it was new to me. It was investigative reporter Seymour Hersh describes executive assassination ring. And I want to play this for you here. Pardon me if I'm repeating old news, but I have no idea whether it's true or not, but Seymour Hersh's conspiratorial fantasy might just be real. He was giving a talk at the University of Minnesota. He was on a tape here, we're going to play it for you, in which he talked about the case of executive assassination rings. And back in the studio... Dan, you want to roll it? Seymour Hersh.
And do they continue to happen to this day?
Yep. After 9/11, I haven't written about this yet, but the Central Intelligence Agency was very deeply involved in domestic activities against people they thought to be enemies of the state without any legal authority for it. They haven't been called on it yet. That does happen. Right now, today, there was a story in the New York Times that, if you read carefully, mentioned something known as the Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC it's called, is a special wing of our special operations community that is set up independently. They do not report to anybody except in the Bush-Cheney days, they reported directly to the Cheney office. They do not report to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or to Mr. Gates, the Secretary of Defense. They report directly to him. They are not... they have absolutely no, Congress has no oversight of it. It's an executive assassination wing, essentially. And it's been going on and on and on. And just today in the Times, there was a story saying that its leader, a three-star admiral named McRaven, ordered a stop to certain activities because there were so many collateral deaths. It's been going under President Bush's authority. They've been going into countries, not talking to the ambassador or to the CIA station chief, and finding people on a list and executing them and leaving. that's been going on. Well, in the name of all of us. It's complicated because the guys doing it are not murderers. And yet they are committing what we would normally call murder. It's a very complicated issue because they're young men who went into the special forces, the Delta Force that you've heard about, Navy SEAL teams, highly specialized, in many cases the best and the brightest, really, no exaggeration, really fine guys that went in to do the kind of necessary jobs they think you need to protect America, and then they find themselves torturing people. And I've had people say to me, 5 years ago I had one say, what do you call it when you interrogate somebody and you leave them bleeding and then you don't let them have any medical care and 2 days later he dies? Is that murder? What happens if I get before a committee? But they're not going to get before a committee, I don't think.
So there you go. Food for thought for open lines coming up after we wrap up our conversation with Kevin and Bart Sobrel. I think it's very interesting, the idea that Seymour Hersh says there's proof for this. It's been going on before the current administration, and that he's working on a book right now that's going to present ironclad evidence of executive branch assassination teams, a cell within a cell of the CIA under the direction, in this case, he argues, under the direction of Dick Cheney. I'm passing it along. You heard the audio. We'll get back to open lines, and we'll get back then to our last conversation about the moon launch next. Was it faked? What about the guy who says he developed the photos? We'll talk to him next, along with documentarian Bart Sobrel on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so just as it developed organically, you heard it last hour on Coast to Coast. If you didn't, go back and grab it on Streamlink. We were talking with Bart Sobrel, who's the documentarian behind A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. You can link up to him through coasttocoastam.com. And then Kevin called from Ontario. And, Kevin, I understand you have a website, too?
I do have a website, yes.
And your website is?
TheHomeGalaxy.com.
And why did you put up a website? What is it dedicated to?
It's dedicated a lot to photography of the Earth from space and celestial imagery as well. I also did an international best-selling book and a New York Times best-selling book called The Home Planet. And that's photographs of the Earth from space and quotes from astronauts and cosmonauts about what it means to be human to go into space. And there's a section in that book called Going to the Moon. And that project, I ended up looking at every handheld image taken by astronauts, looking out the window and some in the window, starting with the first Mercury flight through 1999. It included not only the Apollo 11 that your guest Bart has looked at only, but of all the other Apollo flights as well. And I've all those images are in reels. They're in Hasselblad reels that are put together in 100 and 200-foot reels. And you see image after image after image taken in sequence. And I can tell you that we went to the moon. I talked to a cosmonaut who was working with me on that book, and we were on the steps of Mount Parnass one night. And he was talking about how they had set up a ship. They were racing the Americans. And their last test went around the moon. It came back. Everything went perfect. And then just coming down, the explosion bolts that were supposed to do something instead blew off the parachute. And the ship came down and landed on the Earth without a parachute. And they had to sit there and debate about whether they were going to just go the next time. Leonov and Makarov were going to go to the moon, and they decided they better do another test first. In the meantime, the Americans beat them there. Now, why would the cosmonauts be going to the moon if you couldn't do it? And I don't think you're BSing me.
All right. Well, hang it. Now, let's talk about the photographic evidence. And you had kind of started to go down a road with Bart Sobrel, who, again, you can link up to through coasttocoastam.com. You can take a look at his work and grab a copy of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. He says, and Bart, you can. Why don't you ask the questions of Kevin, or Kevin, you ask the question of Bart, because you guys are both a lot smarter than I'll ever be on this subject.
Well, I'd like to say that it's interesting that the Soviets launched the first animal, the first satellite, the first man, the first woman, the first spacecraft spacewalk, the first two spacecraft simultaneously. that for every 100 hours the U.S. spent in space, they spent 500 hours. So some organization that is five times more advanced than the United States never was able to send a man to the moon. I would wonder if Kevin was a fan of the space program before he looked at the pictures and whether that has tainted his view. And I've seen your coffee table book, and it's beautiful. But I would also ask if you had seen my movie that contains footage of Apollo 11 faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I'm sorry?
Yes, I've seen it.
So what do you think of that footage of them faking being halfway to the moon with the arm going in front of the Earth and the little crescent piece of the Terminator line going in front of the window?
I don't buy it.
Why not?
Yeah, what do you think of the 16-millimeter footage? Have you looked at the 16-millimeter footage of that was taken by the astronauts?
You're talking about of the lunar orbit outside the command module window?
All the 16-foot.
Well, if you go to the website and you get the DVD called Monkey Business, we have lunar orbit going by at allegedly 8,000 miles per hour, and then it stops on a dime, then the camera adjusts, then it starts back up again at 8,000 miles an hour. And I'd like to know how that is possible.
I don't know how you end up with those imagery.
Because we have a source at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. Now, we also have footage of the original slate before this lunar orbit, and it's dated 5 days before they left. Now, I'd like to know how they've got lunar orbit photography from Apollo 11 5 days before they even left to go to the moon. It also says test on the original slate. Now, I'm in the film business, and what that means is that's a special effects shot, and you keep doing test after test after test until you get it satisfactory, and the last test is the one that you use.
When you look at all the photographs that were taken on the way to the moon, frame after frame, inside the spacecraft, outside the spacecraft, you see pictures, the first pictures taken of the Earth from space were taken, they didn't have a viewfinder in that camera. They had to stick it out the window. They had to stick it out the window and try and aim and try and get it. There's air to ground to match that. And you see frame after frame, some inside, some outside, some pictures of the moon and some pictures of the Earth. They're all consecutive. I've looked at the pictures of when they're walking on the moon, frame by frame, advancing to rocks, going behind the rocks, looking at the horizon. Those landscapes aren't faked. You can't fake those landscapes.
Well, who said they're fake? Maybe they're out in the desert at night. The fact is that
there is no desert. There is no desert.
Well, you know, they
can't. I got to jump in here for a second. Bart, you said they were faked in the video. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. In fact, you even point to a rock that you say was very likely paper mache.
I'm saying in Apollo 11, they used fake landscapes, and possibly in the later missions, which I have seen some of, they possibly used real landscapes. The fact is, you can fake a Monet and fool an expert about it. It's time and time again, it's gone to court and been haggled over.
Okay.
You know, if I was going to trust someone's opinion as to the person who developed the film or the person who built the camera, I would trust the guy who built the camera. Now, the guy who built the camera said on national TV in the Fox special, Conspiracy Theory, Did We Land on the Moon, the pictures do not look like they were taken by sunlight. That's a fact. The pictures are allegedly going from minus 250 degrees of Fahrenheit in the shade to plus 250 degrees in the sunlight. Now, when I take film from my hotel room and go outside that's 30 degrees different, it fogs up. So why isn't it fogging up when there's a 500-degree difference? And other things,
right.
Hold on,
Bart. I'd like to have Kevin answer that. Go ahead, Kevin.
There's a real easy answer to that. There's no moisture on the moon.
Really? If there's no moisture on the moon, then how come you can see a footprint perfectly? Because when you step in the desert where there's no moisture on the sand, all you see is a circle. But in the photographs of the footprint on the moon, you see an absolute impression of the footprint indicating that there is moisture in that soil, which means they're not on the moon.
You don't have – see, this is the problem. This is the problem with this kind of investigation and your in-quote common sense. If you were to take flour – and very, very,
flour has
very,
moisture in it. Wait.
Let him finish. Go ahead, Kevin.
Very, very fine powdered substance, and you step on it with no moisture in it at all. It's going to make a footprint.
Flour has moisture in it. You can feel it when you put your hand.
Of course, flour has moisture in it on Earth. But you know, you can take other substances that don't have moisture in them, and you can still make a footprint. I mean, this is
like what? Give me an example.
This is the problem with this kind of
give me an example.
Wait, hold on. The one thing I can't have you guys talking over each other. So finish, Kevin, and then go ahead, Bart. But finish up, Kevin.
You can take fine rock dust and do it.
Yeah, but you're doing that on Earth where there's moisture everywhere. The moon has never had moisture on it except for the North South Pole. You see, that's like trying to create a vacuum. I've never been in a vacuum, have you? And I've never been on any place on Earth that doesn't have moisture in it except the desert and the sand.
I'm not going to bog down with you in arguments about flour and dust and moisture. You used an argument about moisture in a camera, and I told you how that wouldn't work, how it would never happen because we're in a vacuum, and then you start on this other area. I will tell you this. I'll talk about the things that I do know, all right? I talked to Jim Irwin, who is one of the most inordinate Christian human beings I've ever met. That man was on the moon. That man does not lie.
Really?
I'm not.
Bart, let's finish.
I talked to Jim Irwin. I've talked to Edgar Mitchell. Edgar Mitchell had an epiphany on the way back from the moon. I suppose Edgar Mitchell faked his epiphany, and he's built his whole life on a fake epiphany.
Well, apparently he has, because here's what I know about James Irwin. Before I hit the scene, Bill Kasing was the number one spearhead of the truth coming out. He was one of the first guests on Oprah. James Irwin had a born-again experience. And when he had a born-again experience, he called up Bill Kasing. He wrote the book, We Never Really Went to the Moon. He told him he'd become a born-again Christian. He said, we need to talk. He said, call me at this number 3 days from now. And on that day, James Irwin had a fatal heart attack. That's what I know about James Irwin.
I talked to him in his office for about an hour.
You think he's going to tell you that the moon landings are fake when he hasn't told his wife and his children? Who are you?
Well, I'm not sure I accept that logic, because what you're saying is the assumption is that it's fake. If it's true, then he told his wife.
If there's anything assumed, it's assumed that it's real. That's the assumption that's fooling everybody.
Well, no, wait. If it's true, then he told his wife that it was true, and he told Kevin that it was true.
Well, you don't
right?
tell, if the moon landing is fake, you don't tell your wife, you don't tell your priest, you don't tell your children, because your life is in danger and their life would be in danger. You don't tell anybody. So I don't know why you tell some random photographer crossing your path that the moon landings are fake. Neil Armstrong and anyone similar to that has not told me that I can speak of.
People who have true religious experiences like Irwin did.
Yeah, he did. He had a true religion experience, and he called up Bill Kasing and said, we need to talk. He wanted to clear his conscience, and the day he was supposed to talk, he had a fatal heart attack.
Wait. Do you know he wanted to clear his conscience, or do you want to tell him off? He wanted to explain how he was wrong.
Well, the guy...
How do you know he, I don't know,
I
he,
know
how do you know he's going to clear his conscience?
He was supposed to talk to the guy who wrote a book about the fake moon landings. That's all I know.
Okay.
You know, another coincidence among millions, I guess.
You know, I'd like to say a couple other things here. I don't want to have an argument about things that I know nothing about, and I don't know anything about that, and I don't believe it. All right? I talked to Irwin at length. He was one of the most religious human beings I've ever met, and he talked with the deepest levels of reverence and believability about his experience on the moon. You meet a lot of people. Some people you believe, some people you don't. I'm a pretty skeptical person, as you
know. I'm going to ask you about a photographic thing, because, Kevin, you say you developed the photographs. Explain the shadows.
I developed the Lunar Orbiter 1 photos.
Okay.
Okay, and then I looked at all the handheld imagery taken of the Earth from space, and most of them from all the Apollo flights on the moon.
All right, what about the shadow argument that that Bart Sobrell makes in his video, which, again, you can find if you go to coasttocoastam.com? The idea that the non-parallel shadows, where the shadows, Bart says, are indicative of having an artificial electrical light source. What do you say to that, Kevin?
I don't have an answer to that. You'll find answers on the web, but I can tell you that there are zillions and zillions of other photographs that you can look at there where those kind of apparent anomalies aren't an issue. And I'll tell you why there are no pictures of Neil Armstrong on the moon.
Why is that?
Your guess is right. It's absolutely unbelievable. There's a very, very simple answer.
Because he was taking the pictures. But don't you think a backup camera would be appropriate? I think so. If you're going to the moon for the first time, you might drop it or something.
I'll tell you why there aren't any pictures of Neil Armstrong on the moon. Because the man because the man who was the second man to step on the moon, who wasn't going to be famous because he wasn't the first guy to step off on the moon, decided that there were only going to be pictures of the second man on the moon.
So he's humble, and that's why he decided as the commander to go first.
No one took pictures of Neil Armstrong.
Well, why not?
There's only one. Why not?
There, you have historic, the greatest event in human history, the first man to walk on the moon. I think the public would love to have a picture of that.
They would.
Neil Armstrong's wife would want to have a picture of it.
His son would want to have a picture of that.
So why isn't there one? It seems kind of odd to me. I think the guy did not want the liability and was ashamed. That's why he doesn't give interviews, because he doesn't like the lie.
But wait a second. See, I got to stop again, and we'll just leave it here. And actually, we probably won't get any further than what we got. But I think we've reached kind of an impasse. But again, you said he doesn't give interviews. And yet, when he gave an interview to 60 Minutes, you dismissed it, Bart, as saying, oh, he was just hawking a book. So
well, okay.
When you say he doesn't give interviews, he does. And when he says he doesn't speak about the moon, he does. But when he does, you say, oh, he's just hawking a book.
Well,
so that's where you lose me on that, because you make a declarative statement that it's proof that he has a guilty conscience that he won't give interviews.
I'm not saying,
but when
it's,
he gives,
I'm saying it's an odd thing that the guy has made three comments in 40 years about the moon landing, once to hawk a book, once on the 25th anniversary, and once at the original press conference. To me, that's kind of odd.
All right. Well, draw your conclusions as you will. Thank you, Kevin, for trying to present your side of that. And Bart, thank you for coming back and giving us a little bit more time on that. And we'll just let it go for there. The rest we'll leave up to your critical thinking skills to decide whether or not we made it to the moon, and whether or not you can get through the Van Allen radiation belt, which the more I look into it, the more every scientific source says it's just not that hard. But go take a look online. Make a decision for yourself. Pick up a copy of that DVD from Bart Sobrell, and the rest we'll leave up to you in a further conversation, I'm sure, that'll be coming on Coast to Coast. All right, so open lines then for the rest of the night. I would prefer we not go back to the moon story. I would prefer, I think we've said everything there is that can possibly be said about it tonight. I would prefer we explore, you know, brave new worlds, search out new life forms and civilizations, to boldly go where no show has gone before. I'd like to do that next. Sorry for people who are hanging on who want to comment on the moon. But if you want to get back to the executive assassination ring, too, we haven't had a chance to take any calls on that. Or where do you want to take us next? On Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett.